Title the message, He Can Get You Through This. He can get you through this. The gentleman that wrote this very familiar verse, his name's Paul, Paul the Apostle. Paul's the type of guy that was living his life as a walk of trust for his direction, for his protection, even for his provision. This led him up some really big mountains where things were amazing, but also through very deep valleys where things were incredibly difficult. He had good times and really rough times. But through it all, he maintained a commitment to the Lord and a contentment in the Lord. So he had a sense of connection with God, like, Lord, I'm not going anywhere. My commitment to you is intact. I don't care if anybody else leaves me. If I've got you, I'm happy. A commitment to God. But then there was also a contentment in the Lord, where, Lord, because I've got you, that's all that I need. I don't need anybody else. I don't need any help. Lord, because I've got you, I can go through this. Christians know the heart of God, and therefore we can trust in the hand of God. Let me say that at the beginning of our message this morning. Because you know the heart of God, you should therefore be able to trust the hand of God in your life. The more you know His heart, the more you'll trust His hand. We're dealing with commitment and contentment. You see, the road that you're on as a Christian is one that's headed for heaven, and that's good news. So this road that God has you on, what He's doing is He's preparing you, shaping you, molding you, and growing you, even refining you for eternity. God's at work in the growth and the progress of your faith. That's called sanctification. It's being set apart, purified, a process of preparing for something special. Kind of like a gemologist that prepares a stone from the mountain all the way to the mountain on a ring. You know, gold is heated up in the fire. It's refined in the fire. It's purified. The things are taken out of it before it's utilized. As a potter takes a lump of clay and purifies the clay and then molds the clay and cuts the clay and shapes the clay, a potter is doing the same exact concept. A professional photographer, some of you might be into photography, you know that a picture taken from the camera, it takes time to get it ready for public viewing. You've got to have the right exposure and brightness and saturation and balance levels and filters that you add to it before you post it online. A professional photographer understands this. We've got different real life examples of people that take a raw material and refine it until it's ready for its intended use. And this is the same thing that God is doing in your life. God is preparing you right now for eternity. You see, the work of sanctification happens in every season of life, and God is molding you and shaping you through those seasons. He gives you blessings where He, man, really just lavishes great things upon you. But then He also gives you burdens where there are things that are heavy upon us. There are opportunities where God will set you up and entrust to you amazing privileges. But not only are there opportunities, there's also obstacles where God will put things in your path to slow you down, to get you to consider. He will give you prosperity where there are good things and many, many, many just undeserved blessings that come your way. But not only is there prosperity, there's also poverty where it's hard. He gives you health and sickness. He gives you safety and danger. He gives you rest and also strain. You are in God's workshop right now. He is at work in you. And this book, Philippians, is all about discovering joy despite our situation. Even our author, Paul, he's writing from a jail cell. He's in a current spot that is not good, okay? It's difficult, it's dark, it's damp, it's nasty, but he's writing a book of joy. He's talking about how to have commitment to God and contentment in the situation. again, the spot he's writing from is very important for me and you to look at. This is really the secret to endurance. How to get through what God is putting you through is going to be our theme today. And Paul is maintaining a deep commitment to the Lord and contentment in the Lord. And let me say it one more time. As a Christian, because you know the heart of God, you therefore should be able to trust the hand of God in your life. Let me give it to you how Paul says it there in Philippians 4, verse 10 through 13. Listen to how Paul phrases this almost the exact same way that I've been describing it. Ricky, can you read it for me? Very familiar scripture. There it is. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. One of my friends growing up got actually that tattoo on his arm. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As we read through this, I'm hoping to give you a little bit more understanding of that final sentence that has made it so famous throughout the centuries. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and what Paul was talking about in the midst of that. Well, it starts in verse 11. For I have learned, in whatever state I am in, to be content. The New Living Translation says it this way, not that I was ever in need. For I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. The first word we're looking at is contentment. It's a state of satisfaction. It's having enough. Being happy with what and where you are. Like, what does it look like to be content in real life? It's kind of difficult today, I admit. You know, there's always a lure out there to feel the need to have more, extra, an upgrade to the newest and the next thing. There's commercials and there's advertisements. You get stuff in the mail. I'm just shocked how many different ways all of these advertisements continue to find me. Whether, again, it's a new car, I need the newest model, I need the newest thing, a new color, or the new phone. You know, I'm definitely an Apple guru, and so I look forward to the WWDC, you know, the Apple release, and so when the next phone that comes out. But it's always the same phone. Are they really even changing anything in the process? You know, it's like, come on, I think we're all buying this thing. But you're probably feeling the tug from not just the electronics, but even maybe your house. Man, I need a new house. We need to live somewhere else, do something else. Some of you are like, I need a new husband because I need to trade in the old model for a new model. Hopefully not, all right? But it's true. We are constantly looking for the next best thing. And it's even hitting our cell phones. Just recently, I got a text message from a scam. I'm shocked on how creative they're getting now, these scam artists. It's a text message where the text said, you know, we're texting you to know if you wanted to make $500 extra this month. And I'm like, who got my number, number one? And why are you texting me that I need to make $500 extra this month? And so I responded, no, I'm happy with what I have. And they responded back, are you really? Yes. I don't know you, and I don't want your money. Like, get away from me. They respond back, you know, but if you call me and if you give me this, I'm like, exactly, you're a scam. Truthfully, okay, the world is doing anything and everything they can to get discontentment into your heart, where you begin to look beyond and out and about to get those things settled in your heart that are actually a God-shaped sized hole, where God is the only one that can fill that, meet that need. You see, contentment is not determined by what is around you. I have known very wealthy people who have had anything that they could want, but they're still not content. And likewise, I have known some very poor people who barely had the necessities covered, but they were completely content. It was Benjamin Franklin that said this, contentment makes poor men rich. Discontentment makes rich men poor. You know, it's not just in regards to money, though, that we find ourselves being discontent. It can also be in situations, a situational discontentment, where you're not content with where God has you at the moment. Maybe with what you're doing, what your purpose in life seems to be. I struggled with contentment in one of my previous jobs. You know, my closest friend at the time was a fellow coworker, and I was actually hired before the guy, okay? So I had more seniority over him. He was my equal and a partner in the day-to-day. So we did everything together, even though I was hired and even got paid just a little bit more. But one day, I'm not sure how it happened, I just have to blame God, he got a promotion and I didn't. He got a raise above me and he became my immediate boss. And I really struggled, like I struggled hard. I felt overlooked, I felt wronged, I had a bad attitude and was majorly discontent. But then the Lord started to work on my heart. I saw this, that was happening, but then I saw what God was doing. And I realized God's still on the throne. God is still in charge. And maybe God is putting this situation upon me as training ground for me. And so my situation never changed, but my perspective did. And a lot of people think they will be really a really good captain of the boat, but they can't even be a good deckhand on the boat. God enabled me to find contentment in my situation, even though I still was feeling like, man, this isn't fair, this isn't right. Contentment is our response to the situational circumstances that the Lord puts us in. We trust the Lord and say, God, whatever comes from your hand, it's okay with me. Contentment is, as a heart, one that's thankful for what God chooses for you. Now, defined again, contentment is when we tell God that His provision is enough for all of our physical and material needs. Contentment is when we tell God that His presence is enough for all of our emotional needs. Where we sit back and instead of looking around, we look up and we say, okay, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I'm not sure what you're doing, but I trust you and I'm okay with you guiding the way, leading the steps, and being with me in the midst of it. Verse 12, that's kind of what Paul is saying. Verse 12, he says, for I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You know, verse 12, he says in the New Living, for I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or an empty one, with plenty or with little. Paul speaking from experience. The seasons of life are in the hand of God. Seasons of plenty and seasons of need. Paul has learned to be thankful to God for every circumstance he's in. So instead of always looking for the next thing or wishing for something else, there is a lesson to be learned in every single season and stage. Most people pray this. They say, God, help me out of this. Instead, we should be praying, God, help me get something out of this. Instead of trying to find a way out, see what God is trying to find a way through in you. When we commit everything into the hands of God, you will see God's hands in everything. In my circumstance and situation, I need to learn how to be content. And that's what I'm learning from these simple scriptures. But there is even something more grounding that will help you do this. And that's where we're getting to our famous scripture. What is the secret to Paul's commitment and contentment? So what's causing him to say this? And what will help you as just a brother, sister in the Lord? What's going to help you be committed to God and content in God? And it's verse 13. Verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. New Living Translation, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. We're going to break down every word of this very familiar sentence. Starts out by saying, I. This morning, this applies to you. If you're hearing my voice right now, this promise, this absolute exclamation point of a sentence, it applies to you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You need to admit this. You need to apply this. You need to claim this for your life. Appropriate it to yourself. This promise applies to everyone, everyone, including me. And you must believe in this promise because you'll quote it, but are you actually standing on it? You share it, but are you making it a bedrock of your soul? I can, Jason Powell, do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You must personally stand your life upon this truth. It's kind of like going to the doctor's office and hearing a diagnosis and getting the prescription, but then you're walking away out of the office, get in the car, and then you not believe that what the doctor said really applies to you. This is what you need to do. It's verse 13. It's me, my situation, my circumstance, where I'm at today in my life, where you're at in this season right now in your life. Did you imagine that you would be here? Probably not. You business owners, did you imagine that you've had to walk through these difficult waters before? Probably not. But God did. And so God is saying that you need to learn contentment and commitment. And how do you do it? You apply this right now. Me, my situation, I can. And until you believe and apply the promises to your own heart, your own life, your own experience, you won't experience the strength that Jesus supplies. Because one follows the other. It's like a drowning man that dies with a life preserver in reach. This is what you need today. And by faith, you need to grab a hold of this, cling on to Jesus, and personally trust him and rely on him. The next word, I can. I can. This is a positive affirmation. It's not a, I might, I hope, I really wish. Okay, I'm gonna try. I'm gonna give it my best shot. I possibly can. No. Okay, there's no doubting. There's no waffling on this. I can, Paul says. The believer in Christ is one who trusts in his ability and has a confidence that the world knows nothing about. That's why the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. If God be for us, who could be against us? It's the 10 spies in the Old Testament that went into the promised land who were told that they could go in and spy out the land and God was going to give it to them. But they came back, the 10 spies, and they were like, oh no, the enemy's too big and there's no way, there's giants in the land. They'd already been given the promise, but they come back all like doubting Thomas and questioning everything because, oh yeah, there might be a few little enemies in there. But it was Joshua and Caleb that said, you know what, you little busters? No. We can do this. I can do this. And they were the ones that got blessed because of their faith. There is guaranteed victories ahead of those who simply say, I can in Christ. The confidence, though, I want to tell you, is not in self. And that's what makes it just a little comment. It's through Christ who strengthens me. There might be a lot of Christians out there that have a lot of self-help positive affirmation, and it's in the wrong place. And so I want to make a comment. When I say I can, I'm saying I can because of him. Because of Christ, I can. Not because of Jason Powell, my smarts, my ability to network, but rather it's because I'm plugged into the vine. I'm plugged into Christ. And because of that, oh, I know I can, because he keeps his word and he's not a liar and he does not perjure himself and tell me one thing and do the next. Oh, I can trust him. And because he keeps that, I know I can. And that's kind of what John 15:5 is all about. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. The strength comes from Christ. And through Christ, as a foreign, external, supernaturally infused strength that far exceeds our own. It's kind of like, a believer is somebody that before Christ, they're on their own, kind of like Captain America before he got his injection. Remember, like Captain America movie, number one, when he's that scrawny little puny dude, and then he gets that injection, and all of a sudden it's this foreign substance that gives him that power. It's very similar to the Christian faith. Like, you on your own, you're nothing. You're a scrawny follower of Christ, but infused strength because of the Holy Spirit and the promises of God, let me tell you, you can. You can. The next word, I can do. There is an involvement that is required. One of the issues that I see today is that people will stand on the promises, but they will not walk forward into the promises. But Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is a fact of doing in the Christian life that is important. There is involvement on your behalf that is required. I don't want to do anything. You know, God fights my battles. I just sit back and wait for God to move. Well, not so fast. Did you know that, you know, you wouldn't be here today if you didn't put in just a little bit of work in your Christian faith? You know, God is fighting and has been fighting your battles, yes. But you have to fight as well. There is a requirement of personal investment in the Christian faith, where it's putting feet to your faith. The Bible says we walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. It doesn't say that we sit by faith, all right? Like, there's actual walking required. There's action along with affection, where true faith will move you forward. Faith is not idle. Faith is moving. It's believing. It's muscle. It's, I trust you, therefore I'm going to lean in. It's the faithless that often are idle and they're sitting and they're stagnant in their faith. I want you to think about your Bible for a moment, okay? Let me prove this to you. In every major biblical story where the miraculous takes place, there is a small element of personal involvement for the people who saw God's supernatural power come through. Think about it. Noah. God said, hey, Noah, bro, there is a flood coming. And Noah's like, okay, I'll just sit back and do nothing. No, okay, he actually had to build a boat. And it was a big boat. But he actually had to build. He had to sweat. He had to cut down some trees. He had to do work. God did the supernatural saving, but Noah actually had to build. Abraham, I will give you the land of Canaan. Did he just give it to him? No. Actually, Abraham had to walk. He said, every place the sole of your foot treads, I will give you. The problem with Abraham was that he stopped walking. Okay, that's the problem. He only got so much as he walked. Moses, I want you to go and speak. Moses, I need you to lift up your rod over the Red Sea. There was an arm that was raised. It was a faith. Moses, I want you, people are thirsty. People are hungry. Moses, I want you to speak to the rock. I want you to hit the rock. You name it. There was action alongside the miracle. David, okay, the Goliath was out there. He's taunting the enemies. David had to get stones, put them in a sling, walk out to the battlefield. The miracle took place, yes, but David had a part in it. The priests coming over Egypt to the land of Canaan, they had to step into the Jordan River and then it parted. Peter had to step out of the boat to walk on the water. Do you understand how this looks biblically, but we don't see this out in the Christian life? There is a part for you to play. And Paul is saying, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. But you have to do. You have to walk by faith. God partners with you and brings much, much, much more to the table than you will ever do. But you still have to bring something to the table. I mean, think about it like this. If all of a sudden somebody came to you, the richest man in the world, Elon Musk, called your phone and he said, hey, I want to go into business with you. And we're going to be partners in business, but there's one requirement. You have to invest everything you have, and then I'll invest everything I have. You're still required to do your part, but understand, there's a lot more for you to gain than you're giving up, okay? You still have to, sure, fork over whatever you've got and then he's going to do his part. But that's what the Christian life looks like, where God is saying, look, I'm going to come alongside you. I want to partner with you. You do your part. I'm going to do mine. And so you must do. You must be choosing the next right thing. You must choose to fight. Don't sit back and whine about your situation. Move forward by faith. Do the right thing that God is telling you to do. You have to show up to work. You have to do work in your marriage. You have to apply the biblical principles. You have to be obedient to what God is asking you to do. We live in an age of inactive Christianity, Christians who don't like to sweat. And that's why they see little reward. We want God's strength without expending our own. We want the fire of God to fall upon us, but we don't want to take time to build the altar and prepare the sacrifice. What is God asking you to do? He's telling you to endure, to sustain, to have fortitude, resilience, to not give up. Move forward, conquer, fight, press on, move ahead, accomplish, finish the race that you've started. I can do. Then he says, I can do all things. I can do all things. To eliminate all doubt and remove any expectations, all things. What does all things mean in the Greek? Do you know what all things mean in the Greek? It means all things. It means all things. It doesn't matter what things, it's all things. What things are you in right now? What is behind you? What is up ahead of you? What is right in front of you? I can do all things. That's encouragement. I know some of you today, you're thinking about things and circumstances. Oh, but great news, I can do all things. Why? I can do them through Christ. An identified source to go through for what we need. You have to go through something to get it, through someone to get it. It's like charging your phone, right? Your battery goes dead and you have to get power through an electrical socket. You have to plug in. You must go to the source to receive what you need. You need to charge your device and you need to get it through the plug. You have to go to Christ in order to receive the strength that He supplies. God has designed this life in such a way that we are forcibly dependent upon Him for what we need. And in order to make it another day, we have to, again, go to Him as the source to know I have to go through Christ. Think about it. If God gave you all that you need for the rest of your life, how often do you think you would go back to Him and rely on Him and thank Him for it? Probably never. It kind of reminds me of those parents that sent off their son to college, and they only supplied him with enough money to only get about 2 weeks with food and supplies. And so they told him, listen, we will pay your way all the way through college. We'll pay for your books and your tuition. We'll pay for your food, your gas, everything. We're going to pay for it, but we're only giving it to you every 2 weeks. And in order to get the next 2 weeks, you have to call and talk to us on the phone for at least 10 minutes. What, that's smart parenting right there. That is manipulation at its finest. Well, they didn't want to lose contact with their boy. They wanted the relationship to be intact. So he's dependent upon the relationship in order to get the blessings. And your battery is going to run out and force you back to Jesus. And then you get plugged in. And then you receive it. He says, I can do all things through Christ. There's only one person I want you to know who can get you through what you are going through. There's only one person who you can go to that will supply you with what you need most. Your spouse is not Christ. And it doesn't say I can do all things through my spouse who strengthens me. It doesn't say I can do all things through my friends who strengthen me. I can do all things through my family. I can do all things through my own connections. I can do all things through my business. I can do all things through a medication or through a counselor or whatever you want to fill it in. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Save yourself the heartache of trusting in and thinking that someone else can strengthen you, sustain you, supply you with what you need. No one else in this universe can supply what you need. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Your situation has a God-shaped hole in it, and he's the only one that can provide what's lacking. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus is who we need. And sadly, well, it often takes men and women years, if not a lifetime, to experience this truth, even Christians. We have so many things to help prop us up that we hesitate to throw ourselves upon the help of God. It reminds me of that elderly lady who was really disturbed by her many troubles, both real and imaginary. And her family, after taking her to like the local doctors and specialists and herbalists and different remedies with no luck, finally the family just threw up their hands. And someone in her family went to her grandma and said, Grandma, we've done all that we can for you. You're just going to have to trust God for the rest. A look of absolute despair spread over Grandma's face. And then she replied, oh dear, has it really come to that? Yes, Kay, it always comes to that. Jesus should be the first response, not your last resort. What a blessing it is that you find your supports to fail you, and it forces you to fall upon Jesus. The quicker that all of your strength is exhausted, the quicker that all of your false hopes are shattered, the better off you will be, because you will find yourself at the feet of Jesus, who will love you, pick you back up, wipe your tears, infuse strength into your body, into your spirit, give you hope for tomorrow. Say, I'll never leave you. I'm going to walk with you all along the way. The faster this happens, the better it is. Trust me, friends. Jesus is the answer that we need. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As we end, he strengthens me. He empowers me. What is often the way that God deals with our issues? He provides what we need to get through it. Did you know that God doesn't remove the burdens or the weights from you, but instead he strengthens you to be able to bear up underneath it? If we had to look at our prayer life, it's probably very revealing that we often pray for bridges instead of tunnels. Let me explain what I mean. When you've got a circumstance that you're facing, bad news, a bill, a court date, fight with the spouse or a friend, you name the situation, we often pray for bridges. God, would you just get me over this? Would you take me over this circumstance? Help this thing just to pass smoothly. But God very rarely gives you bridges. You know what he often gives you? Tunnels. God doesn't choose a way over, but he helps you go right on through. And that's because God is accomplishing something in you. Weak faith can sprout and grow till it becomes great under the pressure of a great trial. God is growing something in you through hardship by giving you strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The road that you are on as a Christian is one that is headed for heaven. That's what I opened with. And so this road that God has you on is preparing you, shaping you, molding you, growing you, refining you for eternity. And it's not going to be by getting you over difficulties. It's going to be by bringing you through the difficulties. He's progressing you, growing you, building up the faith muscles with you. The weight is being stacked on and the muscles are growing day by day with each passing moment. God is infusing you with his strength. And that is a miraculous truth that every Christian can stand on. The strength that I find to meet my needs are in Christ through every trial. When I trust my Father, his heart. I know his heart, therefore I can trust his hands. I'm able to just say, Lord, I know you're with me and you're going to get me through this. And so here's what I want you to do. Three quick things. One, I want you to pray for contentment. I want you to put away from complaining. And I want you to press on with Christ. Those are the three things I want you to do. I want you to pray for contentment, put away your complaining, and press on with Christ. The Lord is with you, my friends. He's going to get you through this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let me pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. Oh God, I pray you would help us have new eyes to see, that we would not, Lord, just continue to pray for bridges, but that we'd be satisfied with tunnels, knowing that I can do all things through you because you strengthen me. You are with me. You will not forget me. God, I pray, would you meet the needs and show up in a miraculous way? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.